This morning we'll be in Luke chapter 23, also 22, some in the book of Romans, some in Matthew, Galatians. In other words, we're going to be jumping all over the place. Before we get started, I wanted to go before our great God in prayer. Father, today we are gathered celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Father, today we celebrate our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Father, we celebrate His ability to defeat death, to defeat sin. Father, as we have this time of worship this morning, I just want to praise You for giving us the ability to gather together. Father, I want to praise You for giving us the opportunity to know You. Father, as I think back over the past several weeks as we were in the book of Romans, and I think about salvation, I think about how we were lost, how we were hurting, how we were separated, and how we needed rescued. Father, You were there to save us. We have been redeemed and made whole by the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank You and praise You for that this morning. Please bless our time this morning as we continue to study. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you are a child of the 80s, which several of you are not, you will probably have no idea what I'm talking about when I tell you there was a television show that came on called Rescue 911. I remember being infatuated and enamored with that show. You see, the show had reenactments of real-life events where people were being saved or rescued. And I remember thinking to myself how amazing that was. There was an episode, though, that stands out in my mind, though the details are a little fuzzy some 30 years later, but the gist of it was there was a man who was driving his pickup truck. And I believe this was in California or somewhere out that direction where they had experienced some flash flooding. And the man was driving across a bridge, and his truck began to float. And it was swept away and somehow managed to go off the bridge and into this body of water, where it was no longer floating, but sinking. And during the reenactment, they showed this man struggling with all of his might, trying to push the door of the truck open, struggling to get out. And he tried and he tried and he tried, yet the truck continued to sink. Now, it happened to be there were three men that were passing by, and two of the men got out and dove into the water to try to save this man that was trapped. The third man continued down the road looking for a phone to call for help. You younger people may not realize it, but at one point in time, we did not have cell phones with us everywhere we went. In fact, you had to carry a quarter so that you could call home if you needed something. So this man goes to find assistance, and the other two men jump in trying to save the man that was stuck. And in the reenactment, they showed these men pulling on the truck door, but they couldn't overcome the force of the water pushing it closed. Now, I remember thinking, like most of you are right now, why not just bust out the window and have him come out that direction? And eventually, that's what they did. And as they show him being brought to shore, the rescuers are there waiting to help. I remember thinking to myself, this is the most amazing, most spectacular rescue that has ever taken place in all of human history. It wasn't until many years later that I realized that at best, this was a very distant second. For you see, the greatest rescue story of all time is the story of how Jesus is saving sin-sick people just like us. You see, we are just like that man stuck inside the truck. We can't get out. We can't escape. We struggle and we try. We are lost. We are without hope. We truly are helpless. And the sin that we commit is the bondage that holds us down. That sin is like an anchor sucking you under the water. And your life is full of despair. It's distraught. You are on the road to hell. That sin hanging around your neck, that anchor pulling you down, you aren't strong enough to remove it. You have no ability to get rid of it. Try as you might, you'll continue to fail. And it's not just me or you that continues to fail. It's every single person that has ever been born or ever will be born. As you know, in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So each and every person is sinful and falling short. What do we deserve for our sin? What have we earned with our sin? What we've really earned is death and destruction. That's what we deserve, isn't it? But God, in His loving kindness, in His loving mercy, and with grace, has forgiven us. He's given us a gift, the gift of eternal life that was brought to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Every one of us is in need of rescue. Every one of us was in danger, was lost. But God provided the way of escape. He looked at me having pity. At some point in time, I heard the gospel message and responded. I realized, like many of you, that I was a sinner in need of that Savior. I was drowning in sin, and God was there to rescue me. The great news is that we can have life eternal, and it was provided by Christ Jesus. Now, this morning we read the birth narrative, or the coming of Jesus, and I realized, as Dan joked, that it was the wrong holiday that we were reading it for. But I wanted us to read it because I wanted you to think about, as Jesus was being formed in the womb of Mary, as His little hands and His little feet were being made, They were made with the purpose of one day having nails driven through them. His sweet little head was made and formed so that it could be crowned with a crown of thorns. Jesus was born to die. He was born to save lost, sin-sick sinners just like me. If you remember this morning in Matthew 1:21, we read, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In order for Jesus to defeat death, he had to suffer, and he had to die. Now, I can't imagine what was going through Jesus' mind as he rode into Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. I have no idea what he was thinking, for he knew what was coming, did he not? Jesus is God. He knew exactly what was coming. I imagine that on Jesus' mind was the eternal plan of the Father. I imagine that Jesus was thinking about his need to die and rise again. For Jesus knew that he had to take the punishment that you and I deserve. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew that he would be put to death. He knew that he would suffer at the hands of sinful men. But unlike you or me, Jesus continued in. I imagine that if I knew that I was going to suffer for someone else's sake, that I would turn and run. I can't honestly tell you that I would be willing to go through what Christ did for someone else, let alone for myself. But Jesus knew what was coming. In Luke 22, we read the plot to kill Jesus. It says, "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priest and the captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad, and they agreed to give him money." Sometimes we think that Judas was a puppet. Sometimes people have the impression that God made Judas do it. Judas freely went. For you see, what God has purposed in eternity past, sinful man will carry out in God's perfect timing. So Judas decided that he was going to betray Jesus. Judas is guilty. Judas sold Jesus out for some money. We've sold Jesus out for much less, though, haven't we? Think about your life. Think about the cross behind me. Think about the fact that as Jesus was nailed there, it wasn't for the sins of Judas. It was for my sins. For you see, while I may not have sold Jesus out for money to the chief priests and scribes, I betrayed him, I denied him, and I was once his enemy. I sought after the pleasures of this world. I sought after momentary happiness. I'm guessing if you take an honest look at yourself, you did the exact same things. But at some point, you encountered the cross. You encountered Jesus. You realized that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. You realized that you were lost. You realized that you had no power, no strength, no ability to save yourself. You came to the cross and you begged and you pleaded and you confessed your sin and sought mercy. God the Father was gracious and granted it to you, all because of the work of Christ Jesus. As we continue on in Luke 22, we'll see that Jesus sends his disciples out to make arrangements for the Passover. And down in verse 15, we see the institution of the Lord's Supper. Look at Luke 22:15 through 22 with me. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." He's telling them he's going to suffer. "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes, as it has been determined, but woe to that man whom he is betrayed." Jesus very plainly is telling his disciples that one of you here will betray me, has betrayed me. I am going to suffer. I am going to die. I am going to shed my blood for you. I don't know about you, but thinking that Jesus shed his blood for me almost breaks my heart. God the Son of God, would die so that I could be made right? It doesn't seem fair, does it? When I think about the cross and I think about my salvation, there's joy, but there's also sorrow. There's sorrow knowing that my sin is the reason he had to die. There's sorrow knowing that my sin is what nailed him to the cross. There's sorrow knowing that Jesus would be crucified between two criminals. Flip over in your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 23, where we'll pick up more of our text for today. Starting in verse 32, "There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them snared, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Which one of the criminals are you? Are you the one with your dying breath will continue to mock Jesus? That will continue to blaspheme God? Or are you the criminal that recognized him for who he is? That begs for forgiveness? That seeks mercy? I don't know which one you are. Do you? You see, that's the question we need to ask ourselves is, who am I? We already know we're all guilty. We already know that we are all sinful. But are you, with your dying breath, going to mock God? Or are you going to confess your need for the Savior? Continuing on in chapter 23. "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly, this was a righteous man.'" There was a lot going on at the crucifixion, was there not? We had people gambling for Christ's clothing. We had people mocking him. We had people taunting him, saying, "If you are the Christ, then save yourself." They didn't realize that he was suffering, that he was dying, that he was taking the wrath of God that they deserved. He wasn't there to save himself. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. The suffering that he took and the wrath of God that he took, we deserve. I asked you earlier which of the two criminals you were. Do you recognize Jesus as the Messiah? Have you truly bowed your knee to Him? Have you expressed fear of God, the God that you will one day meet? Have you expressed guilt over your sin? Have you expressed guilt over the fact that Jesus would suffer and die because of what you have done? Have you expressed truth like that criminal, saying Jesus has done nothing wrong, that He was perfect, that He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God? And finally, have you expressed trust in Him? You see, when the criminal said, "Remember me," he was trusting that Jesus was Lord. Have you trusted that Jesus is Lord? Or somehow, some way, have you thought of Jesus as fire insurance? I'll take a little Jesus, but I'll still do what I want. I'll try a little Jesus so I don't go to hell, but guess what? I'm going to live like the devil. Doesn't work that way. You see, you either take Jesus for who He is, which is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and you bow your knee and follow Him, or you don't know Him at all. Jesus, at the moment of His death, knowing it was coming, said, "Forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Have you accepted that forgiveness? Have you recognized our risen Savior? Have you bowed the knee? Do you realize that today Jesus is ruling and reigning in heaven? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Because He is risen, because He is ruling and reigning in heaven today, we can be rescued. Colossians 1:13 and 14. "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Galatians 1:3 through 5. "The Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Do you need rescued? The answer is yes. But do you desire to be rescued if you aren't? Do you recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? Have you bowed the knee? Or are you still counting on your own abilities, your own strength, your own ways, your own might to somehow save yourself? If you're counting on anything other than the blood of Jesus, you have nothing but false hope. For you see, the only thing that can save you, the only thing that can wash away your sin, the only thing that can make you right is Christ. You need to be washed in the blood of the spotless Lamb. Some of us were once lost, but now we're found. and we were found only by Christ Jesus. My prayer would be that this church, that this body, that this place would be a place where the lost are found. My prayer is that Jesus would convert sinful hearts in this building. My prayer is that Jesus would give us the strength and the courage to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel message. To proclaim that we serve a risen Savior. Last week I was reading something and it was talking about all of the false religions of the world. And it said that Gandhi is dead. Joseph Smith, dead. Muhammad, dead. Guess where Buddha is? Dead. Insert name. Dead. The only person alive was Jesus. He defeated death. He made it possible for you and for me to be forgiven. Our risen Savior is who we worship. Last week, or perhaps it was 2 weeks ago, I can't remember now, Dan was covering verses 9 and 10 of Romans 10. And this is what I want us to leave with today. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you confessed? And do you believe? If you do, you are forgiven. Father God, I thank you this morning that we could spend some time looking at how our salvation happened. Father, that we could look at the resurrected Christ, seeing how much we need Him. Father, I know that there are people here or listening that do not know Him as Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray that we would be bold and brave, that we would proclaim the gospel message to them. Father, I pray that we as a body of believers would live each day expecting you to return soon. Father, I pray that we would live our lives in a way that we expect to behold you face to face at any moment. Father, I pray that we can boldly proclaim your truth to those around us. And Father, that the vision of the lost would be fresh in our mind. Father, that so we could go out and proclamate the truth of your word. Father, that we would be brave enough to tell people of their need of rescue. Father, help us to always remember, though, that we are redeemed, we are rescued, and we are made right, not because of us, but because of you. Father, we realize there was nothing within ourselves that was good enough, strong enough, or right enough to seek after You. And Father, without the Spirit of God, without Your Spirit opening our eyes, that we wouldn't understand the things of You. Father, for they're spiritually discerned, and when we were in our natural state, we were blind and dead. Father, I pray this morning as we finish up worship that we would go out renewed and reminded of just how great the cost was for our free gift. Father, we pray these things in the name of Your Son. Amen.
Amen.